So your Bibles, if you want to turn with me to Mark chapter 2. This month we're just going to be continuing the theme of miracles of Jesus, the Jesus, a miracle worker. And I want to look at Mark chapter 2 this morning. If you're here last week, we looked at blind Bartimaeus and his persistence in seeking God, that he was a voice of faith that cried out to God. He didn't have eyes to see, but he had a voice. He had legs to walk. He had a voice to cry out in faith. And he had ears to hear in faith. And God has given, when we don't have much, that God has always given us something to cry out in faith to him for. And I just want to encourage us over this month, and whatever the need is, what maybe you know somebody that has a need or there's something, that we just come and stand in faith, particularly this month. We'd always do that as a church. We believe in signs and wonders. We believe in the miracle-working God. We believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But this month, we just want to just really just continue to, in our prayer meetings on Thursday and Tuesday, we just continue to pray and seek in terms of miracles and believing that God will have a breakthrough in areas of our lives and families' lives. So I just want to encourage you to be responding to that, you know, in prayer throughout the week and as we meet, gather together on Sundays, to step out in faith in that. So Mark chapter 2, verse 1. When he came back, it's talking of Jesus, when he came back to Capernaum, he'd already been there, several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home, and many were gathered together so that there was no longer room, not even near the door. And he was speaking the word to them. Hallelujah. Praise God that he speaks the word to us. And they came, verse 3, and they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, notice that, it didn't say hearing at this point, it says seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And some of the scribes who were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts said, why does this man speak this way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning, they within themselves said, "Why are you reasoning about these things in your heart? Which is easier to say," said to them, "why are you reasoning about these things in their hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and pick up your pallet and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home." And he got up immediately and picked up his pallet and went out in the sight of everyone, so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." And he went out again by the seashore, and all the people were coming to him, and he was teaching them. Praise God for his word. Remember a verse last week, Acts 10, verse 38, which says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, and God was with him. That was the life of Jesus. We see Jesus, these 3 years of Jesus' ministry, we see him going around, walking around, doing good, bringing the goodness of God into people's lives. And praise God, when he stepped into your life, in the midst of sin, in the midst of all the badness, he brought his goodness, his perfection, his greatness, his purity into our lives. Things that we did not know before, praise God, he brought his holiness and his beauty into our lives. And he continues to do so as we walk with him, as we walk with him in our lives. As we come around the word of God together, he is constantly speaking his goodness into us. Praise God for his goodness. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment, shall we? We come to him who is the speaker and the teacher. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, and he speaks to us. So I want to encourage you as we just pray, just to invite the Holy Spirit just to speak to you this morning. And his words have power. They're not just intellectual words. They're not just words in a page, they're life-giving words. So, Father, we come together And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would teach us, that you'd speak to us, that you would encourage our faith this morning. Lord, that you'd cause us to move from one place to the next in you. Father, that we would not remain stagnant or apathetic, but we would move closer to you. So Jesus, we just want to come before you today and trust and say thank you that you're going to speak to us today. Help us to hear and to do and to respond. Help me, Father. You know I need it. In Jesus' name. Amen. I love in this passage in verse 5 where Jesus said, when Jesus saw their faith, he saw these faith. Whose faith was he talking about? Was he talking about the faith of the people in the room? Was he talking about the faith of the man on the mat? Or was he talking about these four men who are carrying this man? I believe he's primarily talking about these four men, the friends of this paralytic man who they brought to the house. And we see that there was a crowd of people that heard about the miracles of Jesus. In Mark chapter 1, we already see miracle after miracle, and that was taking place through Jesus' hand and life. And they'd heard about it. You know, you and I, we'd heard about Jesus at some point in our life. It caused us to respond and find out more, to bring us to a place, I believe today, and hopefully that all of us have come to a place where we know Jesus. We heard about him. We desire to take that step and receive him into our life where he takes residence in our life as Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord for that. So they'd heard about him, and this crowd had followed and gathered around this man's house where Jesus was teaching. And we hear in this story that Jesus saw the faith of these four men. And what was it about their faith? Because I'm sure there's things that we can learn from their faith today. They had faith to bring this man who was, some translations say he was paralytic, some say he had palsy. But nonetheless, we know he had a disease which rendered him to be paralyzed in his life. He couldn't move any of his limbs, any of his muscles. He was stuck. He was pretty much stuck in a rut. He couldn't do much. I believe that can relate to us, not just physically, but sometimes spiritually. We can come to a place in our lives where we just get stuck. You know, whether financially we get stuck, whether it may be spiritually we get stuck. We don't just seem to hear God like we used to. We can't seem to move beyond the place that we're in with him. Maybe in our relationships, maybe in our work, maybe in our lives, maybe in our marriage, maybe in our time, in our walk with God. Sometimes we just feel stuck and we just don't seem to be moving anywhere. Spiritually we get stuck. We get paralyzed. Maybe in addictions or troubles of life, we seem in a stuck place, immovable. But praise God that God doesn't want to leave us in that place. God is always a God who wants to move us from one place to the next. He's a God who takes us from that miry pit and lifts us out. He's a God who comes and steps into our world. And he calls us to move and to come to him. And whenever you see the word faith, don't just look at it as a word of belief. But look at it as an action. There's movement. There's something happening. It's an adventure. There's a risk. There's a dangerous place to be. But where you see faith, you see God beginning to move. And God, I believe, wants us to move a place of stuckness, of apathy. He wants us to become relentless in our faith. One of the things that we see about these four men is that we're absolutely relentless. They didn't give up. I mean, there's this guy is paralyzed. He'd heard Jesus was there, but he wanted to get to Jesus, but he couldn't get to Jesus. He was struggling. He couldn't get there, but there was four men who cared enough to go out of their way and bring him to Jesus. You know, they could have heard about Jesus coming to town, and they said, well, you know, we haven't got time just to bring you to Jesus. They could have just rushed off. It was an inconvenience to bring this man to Jesus. It would have taken their time, it would have taken their energy, it would have taken their faith, like Jesus was going to do something. See, they were going beyond what others were doing, just turning up at the door and crowding around this door. They saw somebody who needed bringing to Jesus. They saw an opportunity in their life, in their world, where Jesus could meet the opportunity. I wonder today, who are the people around you, who are the people around us that we need to bring to Jesus? I believe every single one of us, God will give us an opportunity. There are individuals around us in this world all the time, every day. There's somebody that we could bring before the feet of Jesus. Do we see them and respond with faith, knowing that Jesus, you can meet them at that point of need? Or do we Does doubt, and we say, well, I don't have the faith to do that. Do we walk away? These four men, they were relentless. They came to this man and they saw him. They picked him up together. You know, they were together in this as they carried this stretcher. Imagine four people on the stretcher. They could have gone as they walked to Jesus. They could have all had their own idea of where to go. Let's go and see Dr. So-and-so. Let's go and see the physician so-and-so. But they all were in one mind to get to Jesus. I believe there is great faith when we go together in God, when we believe together. You know, we keep hearing this word togetherness, but we've got to be together in our faith. There's no point some of us speaking doubt and others speaking faith. We've got to be together in faith. I just imagine them on this journey to get to Jesus, and they're having this conversation. And they're talking, and they're talking with this man. So they're carrying him together. They're not pulling off in different directions. They're going with one mind. We're going to get you to Jesus. We're going to get there. And as they're going on this journey, they're just talking and amongst themselves. Did you hear about what Jesus did? Did you hear about the time where he came to Peter's mum and he healed her? I mean, that was Peter's mum, the fisherman. Wow. I mean, she was pretty sick, but he just came into the house and he turned the whole thing around. And she got up and made him some food. And the other one says, well, did you hear about that? You know, so-and-so who was just bound with demons for years, but he's like a new man now. Jesus came into his life. And then the other one says, have you heard the latest about the man with leprosy? He came and he didn't think Jesus would heal him. And he said, Jesus, are you willing to heal me? And Jesus said, I am willing. And he reached out and he touched him. And you mean Jesus didn't get leprosy when he touched him? No. The man got healed. And they're just speaking on this journey, faith and life. And I believe they couldn't get to Jesus quick enough. You know, would that be you and I in our hearts that we would get to that place where we just can't get to Jesus quick enough? We can't come before him. We see there's a situation. We see there's a need. And we say, God, I got to come before you. I believe that you can meet them at the point of need. They were relentless in believing and speaking faith. You know, in our journeys in life, we have situations and sometimes we speak more doubt than faith. They could have got there, and when they got there, imagine when they get into that place and they just see the house where Jesus was residing. And they see all these people around it. And they see this long queue. You know, sometimes I go into Aldi's or Morrison's, I nip in there and I get there and there's this long queue and I think, I can't be bothered to stand in that queue. I'll come back another time. You ever done that? You know, and I think sometimes we can have that attitude with Jesus. We see all the different things and the busyness of things around us in life. We think, well, I'll come back at another time. There's no room for me right now. We see people responding in prayer. We see other things that we've got to do. Are you looking at, you're watching the hour? I've got to get away from here. You know, we've come and we see there is no room. But they saw that the room was full. They saw the queue of people outside. They saw there was no room in the window. There was no way to get to Jesus. But they didn't walk away. They saw, they looked, and I believe this is so important for each and every single one of us. They didn't relent in their faith, but they saw an opportunity and said, we will overcome this. I love what it says in 1 John chapter 5. It says, everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. When you see an obstacle, do you look at that obstacle, that thing, and you think, well, maybe it's not God's will, and you walk away from it? Or do you see an opportunity, and your faith says, Lord, we're going to look at a way to overcome this? Now, there are times where I've got together. I remember when we got a new sound desk in Nottingley, and it was a digital one. This was, you know, and we just had a very basic one. And we're all four guys, we couldn't get this thing to work. We're just looking at it, and we're standing at this sound desk looking, how are we going to get this to work? Scratching our heads, but looking at, how can we get this thing to work? And us guys, we do that sometimes, don't we? We see a problem, we think, how are we going to fix it? And I could just imagine these guys, I see this big crowd, and the four of them, they're looking at, and not thinking, well, we better go home. Maybe we go now, we'll get back home before it's too dark. I don't know what they're thinking. But they're thinking, how are we going to overcome this one? When you see a situation, do you give up or do you say, how are we going to overcome this one? How is our faith going to press through this one? I think God is looking for a faith that presses through, a faith that does not give up, a faith that is relentless. And when the obstacle arises, we don't see it as a time to turn back, but a time to press in and go forward. And they looked and they saw the roof was empty. I mean, this wasn't their roof. This was somebody else's roof. And they're thinking, well, how about somebody comes up with a bride? How about we climb up to the roof, we break through the roof, and we lower him down? And this poor guy on the mat's thinking, hey, what, you're going to lower me, take me up to the roof on this mat, and you're going to drop me through the roof? I mean, you're crazy. But it was a faith that says, we're going to get you to Jesus. We're not going to stop. I love this. You know, when we gather together, when there are people around us that may be helpless in themselves, God is looking for a people, and people in this world are looking for others who will gather around them and say, will you walk with me in this life? Will you intercede with me? Will you believe with me? Will you carry me in this journey, even though it may be a hindrance, even though it may be an inconvenience to you? Will you carry me? Let me ask you, who is it that you need to bring to Jesus today? Maybe there's someone that you're constantly bringing before him in prayer. Maybe you're feeling that you're like that man on the paralytic mat. You're thinking, I just can't keep going anymore. I'm stuck. Maybe, Lord, just, and if that's you today, Lord, I pray, Lord, just give those people a stir of compassion within my heart, somebody's heart, Father, just to get alongside them and walk with them through this journey to bring them that they might see Jesus. And they got to the top of this roof, and the roof was a barrier to get down to see Jesus. What are the barriers to our faith? There was no room. There was a roof. What are the barriers to our faith? Is it doubt? Is it cynicism? Is it you've tried that before and it didn't work? Because I believe God wants us to break through those barriers. They didn't wait for Jesus to get his pickaxe and start breaking through for them. They started to press through with their faith. God has given you and I the tools of faith and encourages us to break through with the tools. He's given us the word of God, and it's his word in these situations to begin to declare. Is there any faith? And I tell you, when this room and this, and Jesus was there beginning to speak and he was teaching, and in the midst of the room, we know that there was an atmosphere, there was a critical atmosphere, there was a cynical atmosphere. Jesus said he knew the thoughts. There were people coming in there then watching to catch Jesus out at that time. There were people in the room, there was maybe people with faith, maybe people in the room had received a miracle from Jesus at some point. There were some with curiosity. Maybe just like this room today, maybe you've come with and you know your faith is cynical. Maybe you're coming just to wait and see what Jesus has done. Maybe you're coming with doubt this morning. But I tell you, today, when we see there is an atmosphere of faith that will break through, I believe it will change everything. Jesus was teaching the word of God. He was speaking the word of God. But in this moment, as he is speaking, the debris begins to fall from above his head. He sees droppings of debris. And there's a guy there who owns a house. He's looking, he thinks, what are you doing to my house? I believe what Jesus' response there. I don't believe Jesus getting angry and saying, what are you doing pushing through this roof? What are you doing interrupting my message today? I believe Jesus is just there with a big smile on his face. I believe Jesus may even be laughing at this point as he sees this debris coming down. And he sees this man being lowered from the roof. The whole of the room is being disrupted at this moment. Maybe we need some faith disruptions in our midst. And I think Jesus is sometimes just waiting for an explosion of faith from somebody that would disrupt the atmosphere of doubt, that would disrupt the atmosphere of cynicism. And Jesus is there, and he is rejoicing. Why is Jesus rejoicing? He's not rejoicing that his message is being interrupted. He's not rejoicing that this man's roof has been destroyed. He's rejoicing because there is faith in this room. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. So when there is faith erupting in this room and he sees the persistence of this man's faith, that I believe there is just joy erupting in Jesus' heart. Let there be a faith that is not stagnant, but a faith that is moving and relentless and pressing forward, that doesn't give up. I believe that the Lord is looking for that amongst us. I was reading about Smith Wigglesworth and just recently, and I mean, many of us have read books on him and heard about him, and we're encouraged by this man's faith. But he came and he was talking to a gentleman whose his wife was very, very poorly. And he began to hear this man begin to pray for his wife. He called a minister along to pray for his wife. And this man's friend just began to pray, Lord, just help him through that bereavement. Please help him through that difficult time. And she hadn't even gone yet. And Smith Wigglesworth said there's more unbelief in this room than faith. You know, sometimes we can carry unbelief and not carry faith. I believe God is encouraging us this morning to be a people who speak faith. Be careful what we say. Be careful what we pray. Are you a faith speaker? Are you a faith breaker? Do you change the atmosphere with faith? You know, I love that story where Jairus came to Jesus and says, will you come to my daughter? She's ill. She's dying. And Jesus comes and he says, right, I'll come along. And on the way, there's this woman who comes. He said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. So she's pressing through with faith. And then he gets to the house. What does he do? He kicks everybody out the house where there's unbelief and doubt, just so there's faith in the house, an atmosphere of faith. Jesus loves an atmosphere of faith. And as he's there, this man is being lowered in the midst of them. And I love what Jesus goes on to say next. He says to this man, he doesn't say, get up and walk in that moment. He says, son, your sins are forgiven. Son, your sins are forgiven. Have you heard Jesus say that over your life? Do you believe that Jesus said that over your life? Man, that just fills me with joy. Adam, your sins are forgiven. I mean, you see, often the Jews would think, wouldn't they? They thought that if you're in sickness, that is a result of sin. And the reality is sometimes, yes, sin, we know the Bible teaches us, and clearly, you know, in the Bible, when we come around communion, that sickness and it can be a result of sin in our life. Sin can open up the door of sickness in our life. It doesn't mean to say that always sickness is a result of sin. It may be an attack, it may be a whole number of things. But this man, you know, and many commentators would agree that this man was likely he'd lived a life of sin in his life, and that may have opened the door to this disease. And maybe he was living his life thinking, God, I'm so sorry for how I live my life. I'm so sorry. And he knew that he needed forgiveness on his life. You and I, do you know that we need forgiveness in our life? Not just once, but every single day we are forgiven, but we also need to be forgiven daily. It's ongoing, it's continuous tense. It's not just I've been forgiven, but I am forgiven, and I need to continually come to God for his forgiveness and his grace upon my life. He said, son, your sins are forgiven. I mean, he needed to walk, but more than that, he needed his sins forgiven. You and I, we may need a miracle. We may have 101 things that we need God to do in our life just to release us and to bring freedom and release in our life. But more than any of that, we need our sins forgiven. And we may think, well, I'm not a sinner. I've done nothing wrong in my life. You know, I'm pretty good. I treat everybody well. I'm kind to people. I come to church. I pay my tithes. I speak to people. I try and serve the best I can. I'm not much of a sinner. I tell you, when we get before that, if you come in the presence of Jesus and you start worshiping him, you come before him in prayer, you just realize throughout such a rotten sinner you are, how far we fall short. Because his glory would just shine brighter and our unrighteousness would shine even more. We need the forgiveness of God. Praise God that Jesus spoke what he needed. Everyone else saw that he needed. He needed healing, but Jesus saw that he needed forgiveness. And in that room, there was those people who were cynical. And they began to say, who does he think he is, saying he can forgive sins? You know, if Jesus didn't forgive our sins, then who will? Who will? What hope do any of us have? That's the reality, isn't it? What hope do any of you have? What hope do I have if Jesus did not forgive us? He forgave us of all unrighteousness. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He offers forgiveness to us. And the people in the room saying, who does Jesus think he is? This is blasphemy. Jesus was making a clear statement. Not only could he forgive sins, but he was making a statement that he is the Messiah again. He is making a statement that he is God. Only God can forgive sins correctly. Only God can forgive sins. But Jesus saying, I am God. There is no other God. Maybe you need forgiveness today in your life. Maybe you're carrying around a load of sins that you've never confessed before him, that nobody else knows about. You've tried to hide them and cover them up by your good deeds. You've covered them up by your works, cover them up in your life. But God sees everything. He said he perceived their thoughts in his spirit. One thing we need to realize in life is that there's nothing that we can hide from God. There's nothing that we can shield from him. You may be good at hiding it from one another, but he sees everything that's in the closet. He sees everything, everything from the darkest places of your life. The things that you've even tried to push down and ignore, God sees everything, and he knows that you need forgiveness. Why? Because he wants to bring healing into the inner man of your life. Praise him. Amen. I hope there's a bit of praise in this place this morning. I really do, because I'm just so grateful. So grateful what he's taken away from me, what he's forgiven us of. Son, your sins are forgiven. And he says, but that you may know. He still knew everybody in this room, but that you might know. Today, you and I maybe need to hear those words. Jesus saying, but you might know. I want you to know. I want you to know that your sins can be forgiven. I want you to know that you don't have to walk through life feeling just like so unrighteous and feel so much shame and carrying it all your life. I want you to know that your sins can be forgiven. Hallelujah. You know, we can feel the rottenness in it. We can meet probably somebody who's been a murderer and they've done the worst and horrific of things. And Jesus would still say to them that you might know. We may judge them and pull them apart with our eyes and our thoughts and our attitudes and our esteem. But Jesus would say that you might know, if people are willing to receive the forgiveness of God, that you might know, that you might know. I believe that still the you might know is spoken over us today. What does Jesus want you to know today? Do you know that he is the Son of God? Do you know that he's the Messiah? Do you know that he's the King of Kings? Do you know that he's the Savior of the world? Do you know that he is the friend of sinners? Do you know that he is the only hope that we have? Do you know he's the coming King? Do you know him as your healer? Do you know him as the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, that he wants to fill you, not just with his love, but with his Holy Spirit and his power every day? Do you know him as your Father? Do you know him that you might know? God wants us to know things that are of the kingdom of God that this world knows nothing about. And praise God, through Jesus Christ, we have the privilege to know him. Thank you, Jesus. You've opened the way for me. You've opened my eyes that you might know. That you might know. Oh, that I might know. Oh, God, that we might know today. As they're in this room, in the midst of this doubt and this cynicism, in the midst of these burdens, in the midst of this crowd, in the midst of all the different kinds of thoughts that are going on, in the midst of Jesus' work going forth, there is this breakthrough and determination, explosion of faith that comes from the roof. This man is lowered down. He is forgiven. And Jesus says, that you might know, pick up your mat, pick up your pallet and walk. Pick up your stretcher and walk. You know that when God expects us to do things, if we want to see God do something in life, he requires action. It says in James 1:26, it says, as the body is dead without the spirit, so faith is dead without works or actions. That's right. So if we want to see God move in our life, there has to be an action. And you see on many, many occasions when Jesus begins to move, or when he begins to see the people begin to see the power of God moving, he requires an action. With the blind man last week, he said, come to me. He had to get up, throw off his garment, and come to Jesus. Here right now, he said, pick up your mat and walk. You do something. If you believe, don't just depend upon the other's faith. He could have been looking up at the scene of these men as they looked down with the sweat in their brow and they were there with exhaustion of carrying him. He could have looked at them and said, guys, I need your help. He wants me to get up. Will you come down and help me get up? Jesus said, no, you need to start responding right now. This is your opportunity. Is your faith moving or is it just speaking? Is your faith moving or is it speaking? Faith without works is dead. There needs to be an action. There needs to be a response. There needs to be a doing in our lives. What's my faith doing on behalf of others? What's my faith doing on behalf of my family? What's my faith doing on behalf of this church? It needs to be action. And sometimes those doubts creep in, don't they? But what if nothing happens? What if I look a fool in front of all these people? What if? You know, it's a big risk, isn't it, when we take steps of faith? It's a dangerous place. It's a humiliating place. But you know, it's a place where I believe that God begins to move. You enter into a whole new realm. And God is encouraging us to take steps of faith. And he says, pick up your mat and walk. Pick up that which has carried you all your life and walk with you. Pick up the things that have dragged you down and now you carry it. Carry it as a testimony. Carry it as an honor to my name. It says they got his mat, he picked it up and he began to walk around. He says in Luke's version, he began to glorify God. You know, God wants us to glorify him with what he's done in our lives. He wants us to talk the talk. He wants us to take that to other people. I wonder when later on people came to this man's house, he said, let me show you the mat. I'm no longer on that mat any longer. Let me show you. Let me tell you what I went through in my life, what Jesus set me free from. You know, you and I have all got a testimony. We've all got a mat which Jesus has delivered us from. We've all got a stretcher. You know, don't live on the stretcher in life when you don't have to. Jesus is saying it's time to get up. It's time to break through. It's time to move forward. It's time to be relentless. It's time to go to others. There are people around us that need bringing to Jesus. You know, they had a stretcher. We may not have a stretcher, but you know, God's given us cars, many of us. Do you know there is a great ministry in transporting people to and fro places? Have you found that? Those of you who have done that, you pick people up and you take them somewhere. There's ministry there. If you use it wisely, that time, you get to know people, you can speak the word of God, you can encourage people. You can have great, I've had some great fellowship times just taking people backwards and forwards. I remember one of our young people, he learned this, and he took his sister one time and her sister's friend somewhere, and he wanted to take them so he could tell them more about Jesus. And he said, you know, at the end of that, I led her to Christ in the car. You know, God has may not given you a stretcher, but he's given you a car. I tell you, use it. Go out of your way. It'd be a convenience. But carry people to Jesus. Carry people on that journey. Share testimonies on that journey as we go through journey and life together. Praise God. Under Scott, would you come and join us as we lead in, as we come before God right now. Arise, take up your mat. Faith requires action, it requires movement. Where would you position yourself on this day? You heard Jesus was in town, you heard Jesus was in a house, you heard many people were gathering together. Where would you position Jesus on this day? Where would you position yourself on this day? Maybe the people you're thinking of right now, you think, I need to bring them to Jesus. I need to invite them to come. I need to invite them. I need to invite them to come, maybe for a coffee so I can tell them about Jesus. Maybe we need to invite them to one of our meetings as we gather so we can be pray for them and minister in their life. There's somebody that you need to bring to Jesus. Maybe you're like that paralyzed man and you're stuck in that place and you feel that I've been in this place too long. You're living in a place of apathy. You're living in a place where you're just talking and singing, but there's no movement of faith from your life. You speak more doubt, you pray more doubt, but nothing is happening. And God is telling you to arise. He's telling you to arise in faith. Maybe you've come to the door and you realize there's no room. So you've gone back home and gone back and settled to your old ways. You once were going with faith and moving forward. You were relentless. You were serving God. You were moving. You were speaking. But you got discouraged. And God is telling you to press in, to be relentless in your faith. Maybe you're like the men that you're journeying. And on that journey, you somehow you lost your way. And you've left others to carry the mat. And maybe you're carrying the mat and others have left you on that journey. You feel left, you feel abandoned. You're feeling you're carrying more weight than you did before. But Lord says to you, and I believe this is the word the Lord is speaking. He says, never give up. It says of Abraham, he didn't give up. He didn't waver in his faith. I believe the Lord is saying to us this morning, you want breakthrough, then don't give up. Don't give up. You may be sweating, you may be worn out, you may be tired. You may be in a place of danger, a risk. Everyone's eyes may be looking at you, but God says, don't give up on me. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. I wonder if we can just stand together. Just as we worship God right now, I want to give an opportunity. If you come today, you need a miracle in your life, and it may be regard to healing, it may be to something more spiritual in your life. It may be some breakthrough you need. Maybe in your mind. I was praying yesterday, I was asking God, give me some words for some folks here this morning. I just want to share some of them with you. And it may be, God, it may not be, but I feel I need to share them because it just to encourage you. But I saw somebody and they had very little money in their hands. And I just felt the Holy Spirit was saying, as you look at that, what little you have, Lord's saying, rejoice over what you do have, not over what you don't have. Learn to be content in what you have, and joy will be returned to you. I just saw someone else, you're getting ringing in your ears, and I don't know whether it's tinnitus or something, but there's ringing in your ears, and it's been a hindrance to you. And it comes and goes, but Lord wants to, I believe, touch your life today. I saw this bike that had been damaged. And whether you've been in an accident or something had happened, I don't know. But I believe the Lord wants to minister to you today. And the other one is maybe nothing as well, but I feel I need to share it too. Just someone, you're going to fly and you've got a little bit of a fear of flying. There's fears in your life and the Lord wants to deal with fear. Fear. Fear is what paralyzed you. The Lord is saying it's time to overcome. It's time to soar with Him again. So as we worship God, and I just want to encourage you, and maybe that some of those mean something to you. You want prayer, you need ministry, you want faith spoken into your life. Let's pray with you. So I just want you to respond. You can respond now, but as we're singing, please, just you respond. And you're responding to Jesus, not to me. Let's believe that the Lord is here today. Thanks, God. Thank you, Jesus. Korabasi and Adamasi and Adamasi.